Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Prayer, I have discovered, is something that's easy to talk about, but it is a lot more difficult to do. Because when you get down to it and you really start to pray, this is when you are actually pushing back against the devil. And when you push back against the devil, of course, he pushes back on you as well. So there's a battle that takes place here in prayer.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Ephesians. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18, in a message titled, Ready for the Battle. Now here's Pastor Brian.
So here we are. We're coming now to the final message in the series on spiritual warfare. But as you know, the series on spiritual warfare has been in the context of our study through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And so picture in your mind this Roman soldier. Paul has painted this picture for us. Here's a soldier. He's decked out in his armor. He has the breastplate on. He has that helmet there. The sword is at his side, the belt and the sandals, and he has there the shield of faith. And so from that particular standpoint, he seems to be completely equipped, yet he's not necessarily ready to fight, for the two essentials to victory that he might not yet possess are skill and strength. So you see, you can take a person, you can put them in a uniform and you can give them a gun or a weapon of some sort, and you can say, okay, you know, go out and fight the enemy. But unless there's been training, unless there is the physical fitness and the mental preparedness, victory is uncertain at best. And so for us, moving from the picture of the Roman soldier to the Christian soldier, we have a similar kind of a situation. We can be equipped in the sense that we've got the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and so forth. But we also need to be fortified spiritually. And that fortification, or that thing that would correspond to the physical fitness or mental preparedness, the thing that corresponds to that for us spiritually, is given to us through prayer. And so Paul doesn't disconnect prayer from the armor, he connects it too. So the armor of God, any putting on of the armor of God that would exclude prayer would leave us short of everything that God has intended for us. Now, the Bible, of course, is a book that says much about prayer. And we have several examples in the scripture of men and women who prayed. We have plenty of exhortation to pray. And the reason is prayer, it's the fuel, if you will, that empowers the church of God to advance the kingdom of God. You see, if we did everything but left out prayer, we would not gain a whole lot of ground. Prayer is the driving force. It's the fuel, as I said, that's going to propel us forward in advancing the kingdom. So if we're making little progress in our lives personally, or if the church is making little progress in advancing the kingdom, then it probably is due to a lack of prayer. And prayer, along with the Word of God, these two things are the weapons that we wield in this spiritual conflict that we're in. How do we fight back, so to speak? How do we push back on these principalities and powers? Well, we do it through prayer. And so here, Paul in verse 18 as he concludes this whole initial exhortation to put on the whole armor of God, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And so let's just walk through what he says here. Let's break it down and look at it, beginning with praying always. Praying always. So Paul is calling for a continuous attitude of prayer among God's people. So as he said to the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. That's essentially what he's saying that we are to do. We're to pray always. Now, the Christian understanding of prayer lends itself to this beautifully, because in the Christian understanding of prayer, we don't have a specific location where we must pray, nor do we have a specific time that we have to pray. But we are called to be praying all the time. No particular time of the day. We are to be lifting our hearts thousands of times over and over again throughout the day to the Lord. So what Paul is calling us to really is being in a perpetual attitude of prayer, an attitude where we're just in, that's our inclination. We're going to prayer all throughout the day as things come before us, as needs arise around us. We go immediately to that. So Paul says, pray without ceasing. And then he says, having said praying always, he says, with all prayer, with all prayer. Now, prayer is kind of a, general term. When we think of prayer, we think of petitioning a deity. That's normally what you think of when you think of prayer, right? But there's different kinds of prayer in as much as there are slight distinctions. So prayer is the general term, but then you have petition, you have intercession. Paul mentions here in the passage supplication on two different occasions here. And so these are just different aspects of prayer. But Paul says, use all of these. Pray in all different kinds of ways. Prayers don't have to be long prayers. You can pray long prayers, and sometimes the situation calls for a long prayer. But prayers can be very short. And, they can be just as effective as a long prayer. So use whatever means is necessary for the occasion. Sometimes we pray collectively as a group together or in a prayer meeting. Sometimes you're praying individually. Paul's saying pray in all of these different ways. Just pray. The important thing is that we pray. Now, prayer, I have discovered, is something that's easy to talk about, and it's easy to get excited about it when you talk about it and you realize the potentials in it, but it is a lot more difficult to do than it is to talk about. Because when you get down to it and you really start to pray, this is when you are actually pushing back against the devil. And when you push back against the devil, of course, he pushes back on you as well. So there's a battle that takes place here in prayer. And so we've got to be committed to prayer regardless of how we feel about it. If we pray only as often as we feel like praying, we probably won't pray that much. We have to press through that feeling thing, and we have to do this as a discipline. So praying always, praying with all prayer. And then he says, praying in the Spirit. What does he mean by praying in the Spirit? Well, what he's talking about here is that we would be directed in our prayers by the Spirit. God has certain things that he wants to see happen at certain times. And what we want to do is we want to tap into those things that are on the top, if you will. I'll just use this analogy, but they're on the top of God's priority list. Lord, what do you want us praying about? And so as we come to God in prayer, we come asking him to lead us in prayer. Lord, you show us what's at the top of your list. Lord, you put on our hearts the things that are most pressing on your heart. And we're asking God to lead us as we pray. That's what it means to pray in the Spirit. It's Spirit-directed prayer. And as we ask the Lord to do that, we're going to find that he's going to give us promptings. He's going to show us in various ways the direction that we're to go in prayer. So Spirit-directed prayers, praying in the Spirit. And here's a great thing too. When you're being led by the Spirit, God's laying these things on your heart. And to me, the very fact that God lays burdens of prayer on our hearts, it indicates to us that these are the things that God is going to answer. So I can pray with even more confidence. Lord, you told me to pray about this. You moved on my heart. You put this on my heart. So Lord, I'm believing that this is something that you are wanting to see happen. So we can even pray with more confidence as we pray being led by the Spirit. So praying in the Spirit. And then he says, being watchful therein. So there's to be a watchfulness in prayer. In other words, we're to be on alert or on our guard. We're to look for opportunities to pray. You know, oftentimes things arise in people's lives that call for urgent prayer. So we as God's people, part of our task, part of our warfare, part of the way we wage warfare is we keep a lookout for things to pray about. We keep a watchful eye on circumstances and situations so that when something happens, we can go to prayer for that. We're looking around and we're seeing where are there places or lives or communities or families or personal issues or where are things where you see that there's the enemy started a fire or there's a real conflict going here, then we come together as God's people and we pray for those things. Paul is saying, be on guard. Be on the alert. Now, not only are we to be watchful, but then he says that we are to persevere. And perseverance in prayer is probably the most challenging part of it. Because like I've already said, prayer is hard. Paul refers to it in another place. He refers to Epaphroditus who labored for you in prayer. And that's a good way to describe prayer. It's laboring. We have got to persevere. Jesus taught us in prayer that we are to ask, seek, and knock. And when you read that in the Gospels, what's not indicated there is that in the original language, there's a continuance of these things, that you would continue in them. So you could translate it, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. In other words, don't give up. We're not to give up on prayer. We're to keep on praying. We are to press through. We are to persevere. Are you praying today for maybe a loved one? Keep praying. Keep praying for those people. Keep praying for those loved ones. And you know, in some cases, you need to quit doing everything but praying. You need to quit trying to talk them out of their sin. You need to quit pointing out their sin and so forth. They already know that. The Spirit of God is able to do that. There are times when you just have to back away from a situation and pray and let God do the work. They won't listen to you, but there'll come a point where they will have to listen to God. So persevere in prayer. And then Paul says, and supplication for all the saints. Now this word supplication, he uses it twice here. And this is where we have a little bit of a distinction. And supplication carries the idea of praying specifically for something. So with supplication, it's a more specific versus a more general kind of a prayer. So if you're making supplication for someone, there's going to be more specific things that you're praying for. So in one sense, it implies that there's going to be a knowledge, maybe a deeper knowledge of the circumstances. Sometimes that can come simply through the Spirit. As you're being directed by the Spirit will give us things to pray about we don't know anything about. I've had times when I've prayed for people things that I didn't really even know why I was praying that, but later you run into them and you talk to them and they tell you what was going on in their life and you realize, oh, that's why I was praying that. God gives you insight to make supplication. But then there's also those times where that information comes to us through we seek it out. So what's happening in your life? What's happening in your ministry? What's happening in your family? What are the specifics? How can I pray for that? So supplication, but Paul says supplication for all the saints. You know, occasionally we might feel, well, I don't know, there's not really that much to pray about. There's a whole world full of believers to pray for, making supplication for all the saints. All of God's people need prayer. Just think, there's tens of thousands of churches in the United States alone. I don't know the number, but tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands probably. But just think, if every church truly prayed for the body of Christ, if every church was praying for every other church and all of God's people and every Christian was praying for other Christians, I think that would produce something spectacular among God's people. Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing. This is part of the battle. This is the way we are to fight the devil. We're to pray for each other. Because I am a pastor, because I know what it's like to be in the ministry, because I know what it's like to preach and to prepare and all of that, every week I try to, as we come into the weekend, I try to spend some time praying for pastors all around the world. So you see, these are ways that we are called to pray. But not just pastors or missionaries, but Sunday school workers, all of those engaged in ministry, but not just that, but just Christians in general. Praying for people who are believers, praying for families, marriages, fathers, mothers, children, teenagers, praying out for those who are out in the workplace, in challenging circumstances and so forth. You know, oftentimes when we pray here together as a staff, our pastoral staff, as we pray for you, as we pray for the congregation, we pray for you during the week. You're out there in the trenches. You're out there in places where it's hostile. You're out there working on a job and somebody just doesn't like you simply because you're a Christian. And they're harassing you and they're working to undermine you. We're praying for you. We're asking God to bless you and be with you. Some are going through difficult times in the home. Some are battling with illness and things like that. We pray for those things. I often think of those in the public education realm. We have many Christians who are out there teaching and administrating and serving in that kind of environment. It's a full-blown mission field. We pray for them as missionaries in their own communities. But see, these are the ways that we're to pray for one another. That's what Paul is talking about here, making supplication for all the saints. And again, this is the way to push back on the devil. This is the way. This is the primary way. These are the ways that God has given us. And if we put as much time into prayer as we put into some other things that are ineffective, I think we would see greater things. The great need, everybody's asking the question, well, what do we need in the country today? Well, the great need is a spiritual awakening. We need a spiritual awakening. We need God to change people's hearts, because the answer is not in any political party or in any political philosophy. There's no answer there. We need God to move. And that's going to happen. The likelihood of that happening increases as we pray. So, making supplication for all the saints. In closing, I want to encourage you to make a commitment yourself to pray regularly. Now, statistics say that most Christians pray only when they're in trouble. I don't believe necessarily that that's true, but may that not be the case with us. Let's pray all the time. That's what Paul's exhorting us to do. If you're only praying when you're in trouble, or if you're only praying for your particular problems or situation, if your whole life of prayer just revolves around yourself, then you're not having any real great impact against the kingdom of darkness. We got to get out beyond ourselves. Not saying don't pray for yourself. We can pray for ourselves, and sometimes that's where we need to start. But we need to pray in this sense, praying for the things that Paul tells us here and the ways that he's shown us here. But again, I want to encourage you, set aside some regular time to pray for yourself. Try to just take a few minutes each day to just stop and pray for God's work in your life and through your life, for God's work around you, for God's work in the church. Pray for us here. Pray for the larger picture of the church. In 10 minutes, you can pray for a lot of things. But you just take that time. And as you just start with that little amount of time, and you will find that 10 minutes won't be enough. You'll need more. And you'll start giving more time. But we also need to be involved in praying together with others. So individually cultivating our own prayer life, but then also praying together with others. We have lots of prayer meetings at the church here. You could become part of that. You might just grab a few people and say, let's meet some morning or some evening for an hour and let's pray for something specific. Those are the kinds of specific efforts that are going to bear fruit in seeing the work of the devil driven back. I want to encourage you to pray. Pray for your friends. Pray for your family. Pray for the circumstances around you. Pray for the chaos in the world. Pray for the church. Pray for the saints. Make supplication, because remember this, prayer is the most important thing. It's more important than all of the organizing we could ever do. It's more powerful than even all of the armies that might assemble. It's more influential than all of the money in the world. And it's mightier than all of human wisdom put together collectively. Prayer is the thing that makes God's people invincible. Prayer is the great need of the hour. Prayer completes the armor of God. So in this battle against the principalities and powers that we are in, like it or not, we're in the thick of it. Prayer is the way forward. So God, help us to pray.
For the month of August, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Optimisfits by Ben Corson. Depression. It's plaguing this current generation more than any other. Are you a millennial that experiences depression? Do you know a millennial that struggles with depression? Well, in his book Optimisfits, Ben Corson tackles hopelessness and depression head on by utilizing God's Word to bring authentic hope and a fresh perspective for life. If you want to experience authentic hope, this book will give you a roadmap for a better way to live. So we encourage you to call us right now, at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbrodersen.uk to order Optimist Fits, Igniting a Fierce Rebellion Against Hopelessness by Ben Corson. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Ephesians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.